Hey, great to be here. What a great day, and what a great start to our new year. We're going to be starting a series called In the Beginning, and today we're going to talk about a new year to become a better me. Now, I had a hard time nailing down the title of this sermon, so I had several, and I sent several of them to Jeanette and Mike, and I kept seeing different ways they would send it out, but this is the way it ended up. Sorry. A new year to be a better me. Can we all say amen to 2021? Amen. Glad you're here. Also, one of the titles is Made New by the Word of God, because we're going to be studying the book of Genesis, and it's in the beginning story. So that's how we're going to get going here. You know, this year, 2021, a lot of us, well, I'd say probably all of us, there's things in our past that we wished were different. So can we just say amen? Amen. And there's things about ourselves that we wish were different. Amen. Yeah, that too. And there's things about our current situation that we wish were different, right? Now, of course, there are many things about our current situation, about our current selves, that we enjoy and we appreciate. We're blessed. We're blessed people, and we're doing good things. You know, I love singing with this group, singing a new hallelujah, because we are letting love reach to the other side, and I love loving people with you. And so there's a lot of good things about our lives, but there's a lot of things that we maybe wish were a little bit different. And so I want to start kind of our focus today listening to and watching a video by Matthew West. Let him kind of let this video kind of shape our focus for today.
Well, I wish I had a short-term memory. Wish the only thing my eyes could see was the future burning bright right in front of me. But I can't stop looking back. Yeah, I wish I was a perfect picture of somebody who's never not good enough. Well, I try to measure up, but I mess it up. And I wish I wasn't like that. I wish I wasn't wishing anymore. Wish I could remember that nobody's keeping score. I'm tired of throwing pennies in a well. I gotta do something. Today may find me, well, I don't have to stay there, no. See, my hourglass is upside down. My Sunday soon is here, and now the clock is ticking, and I'm so sick and tired of missing out. I wish I wasn't wishing anymore. Wish I could remember that nobody's keeping score. I'm tired of throwing pennies in a well. I gotta do something. Here goes nothing. Has been
So day one, you noticed as he went through the calendar, it was day one. He wrote day one, but every day changed. So Sunday was day one, and Monday was day one, and Tuesday was day one. Every day, it's a new day. Every day that sun comes up, and here we are at a new year, and we're going to begin a new series. Here's me, and I think many of you. I want to be my best self. This is part of what I loved the reading, Steve, today from Romans 7 and then Romans 8. There's a lot in my past that I want to move beyond. I want to be my best self. I've had some great moments, but I want to be my best self. I want to be all that God has created me to be. And in this, I want to consider different aspects. Like, for instance, I want to consider my spiritual health, but also my mental health and my emotional health and my physical health. I want to take care of all of these things and be the best I can be in these things. I want to spend my time and my money and my energy well. At the end of the day, at the end of the week, at the end of the year, at the end of my life, I want to say, I've spent myself for Jesus and in the cause for the cause of love. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good son, a good father and brother and friend. I want to be a good neighbor. I want to be take into consideration all my relationships, family and friends and coworkers and strangers. I want to live the abundant life. I want to live a life that I experience shalom. Amen, Jackie Peace. I want to spend that kind of life. And so here we are at a new kind of year. And so it sounds like, as I've begun, as you've thought about it, time for some New Year's resolutions, which, you know, I don't do New Year's resolutions, so I do make fun of New Year's resolutions. So we're kind of in that maybe together. But I do sometimes set some goals. But I thought I would look up on the internet some funny kind of New Year's resolutions. And so I spent quite a bit of time doing that, and I found none. I found many lame ones, but none that were really funny, you know? And so I did, just so I come out and look past years, and for quite a while, these are some of the New Year's resolutions that are at the top of the list nationwide. And you know these, because you know the worst year at the gym is tomorrow of the year, right? It's the most crowded day. So one of the top ones is exercise more. And, you know, that's good for me. I don't want to exercise as much as I have sometimes in the past, but probably would rather do a little more than I did in 2020. The next is eat healthy or lose weight. I like the sound of that, sort of, but no, I don't. That's not a big deal. Some are get organized. And I've given that up for a long time. It's worthy, but not for me. Quit smoking. I did that in ninth grade, so I feel pretty good about myself there. I've told lots of friends that I would, I don't know what I did there. Okay. I've told some of my friends that when I get to be 70, I'm going to start smoking again because I liked it, but I thought it was unhealthy. But by the time I get, you know, by then I thought, it wouldn't matter. But now that I get closer to 70, I think, oh, wait, it does matter. So I'm not going to do that either. But then I found some kind of off-the-wall ones. Here's one. Write letters using snail mail. I'm going to do that. I don't think so. Drink more water. I don't know. I might. No, probably won't do that. But, okay, so about goals. I don't know. I still want to be the best I can be. But I have this other goal, and I think we do too. And I don't know if I can Nope. Never mind about the PowerPoint. Just think about this. Our goal as children of God is to be transformed into His likeness. Now, that's a pretty big deal. Transformed into the likeness of God. And I wouldn't think that would be appropriate even to try to aim for, except for the Bible tells me that's what I should. So in Ephesians, it says it like this. You are taught with regard to your former way of life, put it behind you, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on this new self created to be like God. Yeah, that's you, Georgie. You're created to be like God. Is that awesome? I'm created to be like God. Or the way it says it in 2 Corinthians a little bit differently. It says that we all, and he's in the context of using this idea of coming to God and having a veil between me and God, but we have unveiled faces, and we understand, we reflect the Lord's glory, and we are being transformed into his image. We're becoming more and more like him. That's what I want to do. That's how I want to do that. Now then, here's a question I have here. How? How do I do that? How do I do that? Well, one of the psalms that has been very important to me, probably the last 10 or 12 years, in a really kind of dark time of my life, really difficult time in my life, a friend of mine sent me a text, and all it was a text. It said Psalm 143, 8. That's it. That's what it said. And so, of course, I had to look it up, because unlike some of you probably, I haven't memorized the Psalms yet. So here's what it says. Let the morning bring love. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. So these two comments, both let the morning bring word of your unfailing love and show me the way I should go, and both of them underscored by, because I'm trusting you, God. So it's shorthand is boiled down to this. God, this is my prayer, my daily kind of walk around prayer. Show me the way. Show me the way. Well, one of the ways that God does this show me the way thing is to, he's given us scripture, and he's given us the Bible. And so if there was a screen up there, this would be in three different slides, 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. So here's, I'll read it to you and kind of break it down, these two verses into three sections, all kind of saying the same thing. But one is, it says, all scripture, you've probably heard this before, all scripture is inspired by God. It's God's idea. Other guys wrote it, but God gave it to them to write. And so all scripture is inspired by God and is useful. Now, some of the phrases in the Bible I don't think are all that useful. I got a list of those too. Really? Okay, I don't know how to put that into practice. But when you take it as a whole, when you take it in its context, the scripture is useful, and it's useful for teaching us what's true. Teaching us what's true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. There's some things that I'm not doing right. And part of the goal and function of scripture is to show me how to do it right. It says it corrects me when I'm wrong, and it teaches us to do what's right. Okay? Is this something you want? Yes, it is. And everything I would love to learn how to do things correctly, because I do so many things like incorrectly. I don't know how to do them right. And I'll try. And there's a few things I can do pretty well. In our house, we have divided up the chores into the ones that I can do well. That's the ones I do. So I do about three things. Mary Beth does the other 47 things. But those are the things I can do well. I can wash dishes. I can do that. So I do that. But there's some things I wish I knew how to do, but I don't. But this is what Scripture teaches me how to do what's right. And then it says God uses Scripture to prepare and equip His people. He uses Scripture to prepare and equip you to do every good work. Every good thing you need to do, every good thing you need to do, He's equipping you using this. Okay. So with that in mind, we're headed to dive into the scripture. We're going to go through the book of Genesis because I think starting at the beginning also has merit. The next slide I was going to show you would have been a quote by this author and theologian named Walter Brueggemann. He's one of my favorite guys. He says this, scripture leads us to understand our identity, like who we are, as a person of wonder, gratitude, and obedience. And what he says is in the scripture, as we come to scripture, what we see is this awesome God. And we are like, God did that? God did that? And in our wonder, we're grateful. He sent his son to die for me. The creator of the universe became a human being for me. Wonder and awe. And in that way, then I'm saying, thank you, God. And because you've done that, because you've done all these marvelous, unbelievable, great things for me, I'm gonna obey you. Psalm 19. We're going to read from Psalm 19 at the end of the sermon. But the beginning, it kind of has two sections, Psalm 19. The first section talks about how the glory of God is displayed in the sky. The sun, the moon, the stars, the sky. And when you look and see nature, you just go, wow, God did all of that. And then the second half is how great the law of the Lord is. Or as we would say, the instructions. Or we'd say, the way. And he makes this point that God gets to tell you what to do. Have you ever been this way or had a child that's this way? If you're a parent or if you're a teacher or if you're just a person. Someone say to you, you can't tell me what to do. Or maybe you've had that attitude yourself. Hey, you know, you can't tell me what to do. Yeah. God can. You know why God can? Because he made you. And he made me. He knows how it works. And his instructions are helpful for us to be in alignment with how it works. I can do things wrong and hurt me and others. I can do things correctly and benefit others. So this is where we are. And you know, Jewish children who eventually became adults, they would memorize scripture. They'd start with Genesis, by the way. They'd start in the Torah, they'd start in the law, and they'd go through the whole scriptures. And they're mostly stories. And so they knew all these stories. They knew the story of Abraham. They knew the story of Jacob. And they knew the story of Moses and of David. And they knew the words of all the prophets. They knew, they could tell you what Micah says and what Isaiah says. And it was these stories that shaped their worldview. It was these stories would make their worldview different than the nations around them. These stories in the Bible gave them a value system. It taught them who they were, their identity, gave them an identity. So I wonder about me or you. Where does your identity come from? Where does your worldview come from? Well, I got to say that part of mine comes from John Wayne. You know, I would learn what's right and wrong from John Wayne. Sometimes it's okay to punch somebody if you feel like it. Well, maybe John Wayne's not who I ought to take my identity, worldview, and values from. Maybe not. So where does our worldview come from? And a lot of people take scripture like this. Well, you know what? I'll go to the scripture and I'll find scriptures that agree with what I already think. And I've done that myself. I'm going to go to scripture and I already have a thought in my mind of what is good and what is right. And I'm going to go to scripture. I'm going to find scripture that fits that. No, we're not going to do it that way. Scripture also only accomplishes its goal when we come to it as one being taught. I'm coming with an open mind. I'm coming looking for instruction. I'm asking for the help that it's offering. So we come eager to understand and also show me the way. You know, I keep shooting this basketball and I keep missing. So I need someone who knows how to shoot the basketball to show me how. This is God. Someone who knows how to do life, show me how to do life. But it's not only understanding. It's not only understanding the scripture, but it's doing what it says. Woo, Dr. Ray this morning, amen. He was on it. So it's not just doing, it's not just reading it and understanding it, but it's actually doing it. James 1, don't just listen to the word, but read, but do what it says. I want to read that to you, though, because it's interesting the example he uses. He says, don't just listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Those who listen to the word but do not do what it says are like people who look at their faces in a mirror and after looking at themselves, go away and immediately forget what they look like. You know, I can see this idea of looking in the mirror. And I have less to look at these days in the mirror. But Mary Beth, on the other hand, has a lot to look at. And when she's especially doing her hair, her hair takes a little longer to do than mine. Not that it doesn't take a little bit to do this. I mean, come on. But hers takes a little longer. But one of the things I know, she looks in the mirror, she sees something that's not in place, and she changes it. You get that? If you look in the mirror and you see something hanging out of a place it's not supposed to be hanging out of, you fix that. You do something about it. The other thing about the mirror is you don't just look last week and then I'm good. You know, I looked in the mirror last week and I'm good to go. This is how we are often about the Bible. I read that story of Abraham one time. It was about 30 years ago and probably hasn't changed. Well, you know, it hasn't, but my understanding of it probably wasn't all that great in the first place. You know what I mean? So as I continue to go back over and over, like going to the mirror, I'm going to go to the mirror over and over and over. Or it's like daily bread. You know, the food I ate last week doesn't satisfy my hunger for today. That's why he says we don't live on bread alone, but we live on our daily bread that comes from God. And this is how we're going to be about the scripture. We're going to jump into Genesis, stories that we think we already know. And you know, I taught the Old Testament at ACU for about 14 years. And I had large classes, and they were all required to be there. And let me tell you, no one comes to an Old Testament class unless it's required. And so we would get that out on the table right off the bat. I said, how many of y'all would come to this class if it wasn't required? Zero. My goal was by the fourth or fifth week that they might be developing some kind of interest besides just let me get out of here. So one of the things I found out, though, is there's two kinds of people in my class. There were people who didn't have a clue about the Old Testament. And they were a little nervous about it. Like, I don't know this Bible. I don't know anything about these stories. I don't know. And then the other kind of person was who didn't have a clue either, but they thought they did. They thought they knew all the stories, you know, and they did know some things. They knew that David killed Goliath. They knew that Moses built the ark. Oh, wait, was it? Or maybe not. But you know what I mean? And this is where I find myself. And I've been at it a long, long time. I would always marvel at my professors when I was getting my MDiv and how much they knew about the Bible. Wow. And I was like in awe of them. And then I got to thinking, you know what? If I'd spent as much time reading the Bible as they had, I'd know as well as they do. Because that was their whole career, you know? They didn't know Jack about football. Well, actually, they thought they did, but they probably didn't know as much as they thought, you know. But here we are coming to the Bible, and we know this. You know, God created the heavens and the earth, right? Okay, in the beginning, he did that. What else? Move on. What's for lunch? But maybe there's more. So we're going to jump into it and see what God has to offer us in the next few weeks about the beginning of the story. And next week, we're going to talk about in the beginning. That's where we're going to start, but it's not going to be from Genesis 1. It's going to be from John 1, so that's kind of different. But here's the thing about the upcoming series. I hope we approach it like this, as eager to know more. And I think Dr. Vanderland has really blown our minds here, if you've come over a period of time, just so many things we thought we knew, right? And I've been at it a long time, got degrees on the wall to show that I know, but I learned something different every time. And I think this can happen as we jump into Genesis. There's things that you're going to read yourself. And we may not even talk about them from the pulpit, but you're going to read it yourself, and it's going to enlighten you. You're going to show you the way. God, show me the way I should go. Here's where the people have learned the way to go. They've learned it from the stories and from the way that God interacted with people and the way people interacted with each other. And as we learn that and read it again and read it differently, and don't pass over the part that we don't write automatically understand, even though there will be some things we just go, hey, I don't know. But I think God is going to open our hearts and minds to just a new way. And even though we're going to call it a new way, I'm also going to call it an old way. Okay? So this is where we go. I want to end by reading Psalm 19. In Psalm 19, I'm going to read it from the last half of it, and I'm going to read from the Message. And I'll throw in a few NIV references here too, just because, well, the very first line. You know, God is, the author of Psalm 19 has already talked about how awesome God is because of what he's done in creation. And so with that as kind of our foundation, God can tell me what to do because he knows all about me because he made me. He made everything about this world. He made it. And so I'm going to listen to him. And here's what it begins. NIV would say, the law of the Lord is perfect. Hebrew would say the Torah of God, but it's the law of the Lord. Or here's how it goes in the Message. The revelation of God is whole, and it pulls our lives together. The signposts of God are clear and point out the right road. Okay, this is why we're going back to Genesis, you know, because this is it. It points out the right road. The life maps of God are right, showing the way to joy. The directions of God are plain and easy on the eyes. God's reputation is 24-karat gold with a lifetime guarantee. The decisions of God are accurate down to the nth degree. God's word is better than a diamond set between emeralds. And you'll like it better than strawberries in the spring, better than red ripe strawberries. And there's more. God's word warns us of danger, and it directs us to hidden treasures. Otherwise, how would we find our way? Or how would we know if we're playing the fool? Clean slate, God, so we can start out fresh today. So God, please, keep me from stupid sins. Keep me from thinking that I can take over your work. Then I can start this day sun-washed, scrubbed clean of grime and sin. These, Lord, are the words of my mouth. These are what I chew on and pray for. Accept them when I place them on the altar. O God, my rock. O God, my fortress. We're going to stand and sing, and I'll have a word to close.